Hello, and welcome back for another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis.
I'm Lita.
I'm Ron.
And I'm tired.
She's Jean Marie. Collectively, we are the hosts of Podcast DX.
And today's show is about migraines.
And who exactly is today's guest?
Well, we thought that since you have a lot of experience having had migraines for some time now.
Okay, so are we now going to rename the show What the Heck's Wrong with Jean Marie this week?
No, we'll skip a week every now and then.
Great. Let's get this over with.
Okay. Jean, what's the difference? Can you tell us what's the difference between a migraine and just a regular headache?
Well, there are primary headaches, and these headaches are typically due to the headache condition itself and are not due to another cause. So generally speaking, there are three types of primary headaches. There's migraines, tension headaches, cluster headaches, and then there's secondary headaches, which are the result of another condition. For example, types of secondary headaches include sinus headaches, medication overuse headaches, headaches from illness, post-traumatic headaches, spinal headaches, like if you have an epidural, brain tumor or aneurysm headaches, and cervicogenic headaches as well.
And just a quick reminder to our listeners, with any head pain, you should seek medical help if you have any of the following signs or symptoms. Ron?
If you have an abrupt, severe headache, almost like a thunderclap.
Or a headache with a fever, nausea, or vomiting, a stiff neck, mental confusion, seizures, numbness, or speaking difficulties.
Or if you have a headache after a head injury, even if it's a minor fall or bump, especially if it worsens over time.
Or if you have a sudden severe headache, unlike any you've had in the past.
Or if you have a headache that worsens over days and changes in patterns.
Okay, so when in doubt, seek medical help, please.
Right.
Well, so today we're going to be talking about one specific type of primary headache, the migraine headache.
So migraines are a neurological disease characterized by episodes often referred to as migraine attacks.
Right. In fact, there are several types of migraines. Vestibular migraine, ophthalmoplegic migraine, say that three times fast. Hemiplegic migraine, basilar migraine, migraine aura without headache, migraine with aura, and migraine without aura.
Right. Vestibular migraines, which are also known as migraine association vertigo, it's actually a disorder which involves a problem with the body's ability to communicate the sensory information sent to your brain from your eyes, your body, your ears, and such. Vestibular migraines result in repeated episodes of dizziness or vertigo in people who have a history of migraine symptoms. However, you may not always have a headache with a vestibular migraine.
Wow, I'd never heard of a migraine without a headache before.
Actually, I hadn't before researching for this episode either.
It looks like we're all going to learn something from this episode.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Next in the list is basilar migraines, and this is a very rare form of migraine, and it may include symptoms such as a loss of balance, double vision, blurred vision, difficulty in speaking, and possibly fainting. During this form of headache, some people may lose consciousness. Basilar migraines occur when the circulation in the back of the brain or neck is affected.
Jean, I seem to remember that's the one that you get.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a little confused here. What type of migraines do most people get?
Oh, okay. Well, the majority of migraine sufferers have a migraine without aura. And the most common symptoms of a migraine without aura include an intense throbbing headache, usually on one side of the head, which is worse when you move. And it actually may last anywhere from 4 hours all the way up to 72 hours. And people who have migraines without aura may also suffer from nausea, vomiting, a sensitivity to light, noise, smells. And if you suffer from migraines without aura, you may also feel like you have a stiff neck and shoulders, and you might have blurry vision when you have your migraine attack.
Well, Jean, you get those too.
Yeah, okay. Then there's migraine with aura, which refers to a range of neurological disturbances that occur before the headache actually begins. The aura itself may last from 20 to 60 minutes, and about 20% of people with migraines experience an aura, in addition to some or all of the symptoms that those people with migraine without aura experience. So someone who's having a migraine with aura may be seeing blind spots in their vision, flashing lights, or even zigzag patterns. The aura may also present in other ways. You may feel pins and needles in the sensation on one side. You might have slurred speech, muscle weakness, a loss of coordination, or confusion. So it might sound like a couple of the other ones we described. And the other symptoms of migraine will also usually follow this migraine aura period. So the symptoms of migraine, again, are or may include an intense throbbing headache, usually on one side of the head, which is made worse by movement and may last from 4 to 72 hours. And the migraine symptoms may include feelings of nausea, sometimes vomiting, sensitivity to light, noise, or smells. And again, you might get a stiff neck or shoulders, and you may have blurred vision.
And I think you get those too.
Yeah, okay. Then there is migraine aura without headache, which about 1% of migraineurs, not to be confused with mariners, experience migraine aura without ever having a headache. Acephalgic migraines, also called cephalgic migraine aura without headache, typical aura without headache, a migrainous migraine, isolated visual migraine, or optical migraine, just in case you didn't have a headache yet, all those names, is another neurological syndrome, and it is basically a migraine with aura, but without or with a very minimal headache.
Those are nice.
Mm-hmm. I'm not that I would love those, but I envy those people that have them. The most common symptoms of migraine aura are visual disturbances, which I had mentioned earlier, blind spots, flashing lights, or a zigzag pattern. And then migraine aura can also present as pins and needles on one side. You know, once again, it usually starts with the fingers, the arm, and sometimes it actually can spread up to the face. Slurred speech, muscular weakness, loss of coordination, and confusion. Oh, well, that's not great.
No, and I don't know if you've ever had that type.
No, I don't know. Well, before now, I wouldn't even have known that was a type of migraine. Okay, so then there's ophthalmoplegic migraines.
These are fun.
Which is a very rare type of migraine in which there's a weakness of one or more of the muscles that move the eye. In addition to typical headache symptoms, ophthalmoplegic migraines, the migraine attacks may also include a dilation of the pupils, an inability to move the eye upward, downward, or across, as well as a drooping of the upper eyelid.
You know, there was one time, Jean, that I think...
Yeah, okay. And then there's hemiplegic migraines, and that is another rare form of migraine, where the person may experience many of the usual migraine symptoms, but may also suffer from temporary numbness, weakness, or even paralysis on one side of the body. But unlike a stroke, the symptoms of a hemiplegic migraine begin slowly and then build up as the migraine progresses. So weakness and numbness, those symptoms will usually go away within 24 hours, but they may also last for a few days. And this can be a very scary type of migraine. Hemiplegic migraines can be one of the most difficult types of migraine to diagnose, as many of the symptoms can mimic a stroke, seizures, or other serious conditions. MRIs, CT scans, and other neurological testing may be necessary, in addition to a full review of your medical history. And these are usually done to rule out other potential causes for such symptoms.
I just learned a whole heck of a lot. It sounds like migraine conditions are complex. Like there's not just one.
Right.
Holy cow.
And migraine episodes can typically be broken into four parts. The period before the migraine, the aura, if you have an aura with your migraines, and the recovery phase.
Right. And as with several other conditions we've discussed on past episodes, when it comes to migraine headaches, it's best to keep track of your symptoms, your emotions, for women, their monthly cycle, and any possible migraine triggers you may have. And keeping track of your symptoms and what may be exacerbating them may help your healthcare team determine the best possible course of treatment for you.
Let me throw this one out. What about stomach migraines? I don't think you've mentioned those yet.
I haven't, but I have heard of those too. Abdominal migraines aren't actually headaches. And we were specifically discussing headaches. So abdominal migraines typically cause severe abdominal pain and may cause nausea, cramping, vomiting and everything like that. And for abdominal migraines, you actually may be reacting to the same triggers as someone with migraine headaches.
And some of those triggers would be what?
Typical migraine triggers may include food and drinks, for example, aged cheese, alcohol, processed foods or salty foods, or even some food additives. If you're hungry and you're not eating your meals on time, if you're undergoing hormonal changes, if you're exposed to strong smells, bright lights, if the weather changes and there's a barometric pressure change, if you are physically exerting yourself, or even some medications can trigger migraines. And everyone's a little bit different, and everyone's migraine triggers may be very different. So it's, once again, important to keep a record of those.
Well, that's a lot of news out there about a new migraine medication. Have you heard about that?
Yes, I have heard about that. And there are many ways to help prevent, treat, and reduce the frequency or intensity of migraines. And someone who's suffering from migraines should find a healthcare provider who will work specifically with them to find out what works best for them.
Jean, does your general practitioner manage your migraine treatment?
Not exactly. I actually have a neurologist, and she specializes in migraines, and she administers my Botox injections and works with my GP to find medications to help prevent my migraines and to curb the migraines once they begin.
Do those Botox injections hurt?
Well, I don't think so, but I apply a topical prescription analgesic approximately 30 minutes before each appointment. And my neurologist uses a very, very fine needle. And she also has very steady hands, and that makes a huge difference. And since the protocol recommends actually 31 individual injections, it really is important to like breathe through the whole process and remain relaxed. And I've heard some other patients from them that they have a terrible migraine following the Botox treatment, and they may want to make sure that they are keeping their neck and their shoulders completely relaxed. And if they need extra support, actually, they can ask their physician if they can lay down while they're receiving the injections.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. And this way you're not putting extra strain and you're not getting a tension headache afterwards. And for me, Botox, it's a very quick and painless procedure, which makes a significant difference.
Can you feel a difference right away?
Actually, I don't even notice the difference until I'm due for my next treatment, and then I'm starting to feel the migraines more and more often, and the intensity of the migraines is far more severe.
Is there anything else that you could do that helps when you have a migraine?
Yes. In general, I try to stay hydrated. I try to manage my stress, meditate. I avoid my specific migraine triggers, and when I do have a migraine, I take my rescue medicine. I stay in a dark room, and I apply an ice pack to my forehead and my neck.
That's why the house looks a little bit like a bat cave, Ron.
Yeah, okay. I also take my medicine, an empty ice bag, electrolyte tablets, an eye mask, and noise-canceling headphones whenever I travel.
Well, thanks, Jean. And if our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a 5-star review on the iTunes podcast app.
And please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you may have heard on this podcast.
Till next week.